it seems there's only one thing to talk about today in talk radio, but it seems the same things are being said about it over and over again, about our soon-to-be departing governor. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. We know what the pundits are saying, but what about Alaskans? Our number is 1-800-478-8255, toll-free, 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422, email talk@APRN.org. Governor Palin says she's leaving Alaska government in good shape. Do you agree? On Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by BP. Giving back to the community is a priority because so many at BP call Alaska home. And by Alaska Communication Systems. ACS offers high-capacity, high-speed bandwidth for business with speeds up to Gig E, connecting companies from the North Slope to Ketchikan to each other and the rest of the world.
Well, I'm very interested in getting as many calls as we can from as diverse a part of the parts of the state as we can on this Talk of Alaska. It's a unique and unusual situation. It kind of puts me in mind of when Ted Stevens got indicted, and we did a show, What is the Ted Stevens Legacy? It was a fascinating program then, and I'm looking forward to a fascinating program now. So the stars of this show are really you, the listener. You can call now at 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. If it's a local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. And the email is talk@APRN.org. Later on, it'll get kind of crowded, and that might be the best way to get through. So if you can kind of bear in mind that we'd like to get a lot of guests in and keep your comments brief. And if someone has already kind of said what you want to say, maybe you can find a way to underscore it or just come on and say something like, oh, I know, ditto, to what that other guy. No, that's all right. Joining us for this program is APRN's Dave Donaldson from the Juneau Bureau of the Alaska Public Radio Network. Dave.
Good morning. Good morning.
Dave, how are you doing? What kind of day is it in Juneau today?
A little bit windy, but it's beautiful. It's going up into the 80s again.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we have similar. It's not windy here and also getting, maybe up to 80. Also from Juneau, Larry Pursley, a former aide to Palin, a former journalist, and now a legislative aide. Larry, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Good morning.
I can't even remember what last time we had you on the show, what your role was. Maybe Gasline.
Maybe. Unfortunately, as I get older, I find that the word former applies to me more and more.
The former Larry Pursley.
Right.
So, Larry, why don't you start by kind of explaining what your role was in the administration?
Well, the state of Alaska for years, for about 26 years, give or take, has had an office in Washington, D.C. to work on federal issues. Certainly, we all talk about how we're so dependent on the federal government for funding, for land use management, a lot of other issues. So currently, John Katz is director of that Washington, D.C. office, has been for more than two decades, and there were three assistants currently working with John, same as when I was there from summer of 07 to summer of 08, and I worked on oil and gas, fiscal, tax, transportation, commerce issues, Arctic issues, a few others.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, Kat's kind of, he's the captain of the ship down there, but obviously he represents the governor, so you were definitely executing the governor's will. Such as
sure, or state policy on ANWR, on offshore drilling, on many other issues, Arctic policy and such for a year.
All right, thank you. Dave, the governor said that she's leaving the state in good shape and this is a good time for her to go. And she's said yesterday, she underscored and said she feels good about this. You've interviewed Sean Parnell, who will be taking the reins of government. He probably would pretty much agree and continue the same direction. I guess where we're at is this a good time for her to leave? And is the state in good shape? And just, you know, obviously this is something for our listeners to weigh in on. But I just wanted to get your picture of it, not to go down to department by department, but just in terms of where the state is right now.
Yeah, basically the state, this is a good time to leave. Sean Parnell is philosophically, he and Sarah Palin are very much in alignment. If anything, he is more fiscally conservative than she is. But there's a style difference that's going to be taking place here. That one of them is that Sean Parnell is not going to make a surprise veto of something and people find out from reporters asking about it. Sean Parnell is going to be very, very much a part of a public process, a public arena. And he's going to be taking advice from people who are known, who have a connection to the subjects that they're advising the governor on. And this has been the things that have been missing with Sarah Palin. As far as is the state in good condition, yes, it is. You know, we still have money. Sean Parnell says that he's going to be cutting spending some more, but, you know, the state is in good shape. The philosophically, it may not be where somebody wants it to be, and that's up to the majority's opinion on that. But, you know, there is no urgent thing that has to be done. There's nothing pressing that has to be finished that hasn't been done. It's just a matter of kind of getting things back into an order that that can be dealt with over the long period of time.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, in terms to break it down a little bit, I think there may be some parts of state government that are not in real good shape right now. I think of, for instance, maybe transportation. We saw this weird debacle in Anchorage where somehow the streets still haven't been swept. it's been kind of these.
Well, come on, Anchorage gets some credit for that also. But yeah, no.
Anchorage did all theirs. It was the state ones that did. The state contracted it out, and the contractor couldn't get the job done, and the terms of the contract weren't drawn up well.
Right.
And many would point to Fish and Game and say, "Look, you know, 3 years." We have to do all the salmon escapement up the Yukon River in 1 year because nothing's been done for 2 years before that. And then there's differing opinions, I'm sure, on predator control, but for sure there's been quite the philosophical change of Fish and Game.
Right. And there have been, you know, for example, slow or no responses to the fuel versus food crisis in rural Alaska and declarations of is it an emergency? Is it a kind of emergency? What's the status of things? Those sorts of things. But those are not systemic long-term problems that are going to be dealt with. I mean, those are the sort of things that can be fixed with a governor that's actually paying attention and is interested in fixing those problems. And I think you've got that with Sean Parnell now.
Yeah. So one thing that also comes up in the legacy, I think, is what happened with Exxon. We had the Supreme Court ruling. We also had movement on Point Thompson, and we have Exxon joining with TransCanada, and very mixed feelings in Alaska about this. It's going to, in one sense, let's go to Larry Persley on this one. In one sense, this enhances prospects for the gas line, one would think, and then on the other hand, a lot of Alaskans are just plain burned up that a state subsidy might end up going to Exxon.
Sure they are. Alaskans hate Exxon, let's face it. But truth is, Exxon made a strategic corporate decision that they want to be involved in the gas line. And they had always wanted to be involved in the gas line. They decided, we want to be more visibly involved. We want to have the proverbial seat at the table. We want to be involved in talks. We want to have a leading role in it. So they signed on with TransCanada. But all they signed on for was to continue to study the line, see about a price tag, see if it's economically feasible, see if it's politically feasible at some point. But sure, it's good for the project that Exxon has come out of the woodwork and signed up. And you're right, by being part of TransCanada under the governor's Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, the AGIA license, Exxon will get reimbursed by the state for 50% of its costs as it looks at designing a gas line, looks at planning it out. Exxon will get half their costs covered by the state. I'm guessing in this phase we're probably talking about $30 million maybe that will go from the state to Exxon. That rankles people, that annoys people, but that was the deal. Exxon does seem to be trying to make it a little nicer in Alaska, and I think they Oh, they've decided it's in their best interest not to be such a jerk all the time.
And to add to that, one other thing, Steve, those are expenses that the ones that Exxon will be picked up for are expenses that TransCanada would have had to pick up. I mean, it's not as if they're doing useless things. They are a part of the same expenditures. It's just that they will be under Exxon's responsibility to get them done. Additionally, Exxon comes to the table with a whole lot of data that they've accumulated over the years. So those sorts of things probably makes it a plus that we will be spending less than if we were just to say, okay, TransCanada, you have to do it by yourself.
So this is getting interesting because we sort of are getting a departure between, like, if you're a wonk and you're into the nuts and bolts of things, you say, well, actually, this is all moving forward. There's movement. And yet there are so many red flags going up PR-wise, you know. And you can just expand that out. Oh, she's a quitter. She abandoned. She promised to back the in-state gas line, and then when she got elected, as our email first email here from Cha Lin says, she may complain about the media, but in reality, she's been handled delicately for a long time, particularly in Alaska. She's not been called to account for her flip-flops, and now her abandonment on the gas line project means to the state's ability to obtain a pipeline deal, it replaces the economics that will be lost as oil flows through the TAPS decline. She's speaking there of the from Juneau about the not backing the in-state gas line in any way that we can see. Now, I know, and Larry, I'm sure you'll be quick to say as well, if the governor's response is, no, we haven't precluded that at all.
Right. Palin continues to say whatever people want to hear in terms of gas lines. I'm for this, I'm for that, I'm for anything. But look, what that listener is commenting is, we all know Palin is erratic, she's unpredictable, but she's got an amazing personality and is able to pull it off. So, sure, she got an easy ride with the press when she ran for governor. Then she ran for vice president, and the world descended upon her. That continued. She got tired of the hassles and said, I'm out of here. Let someone else deal with it.
So that's your verdict. Tired of the hassles, huh?
Yeah. I think the ethics complaints, the hassles, the criticism, the press scrutiny, the political infighting, she wasn't up for it, didn't enjoy it, wasn't having any fun at the job anymore, wasn't particularly engaged in the job or productive. So she said, fine, I'll go do something else. Goodbye.
Dave, you've been watching, and we've all had to watch these ethics complaints. There certainly have been a lot of them, regardless of the cost to research and respond to them and the cost of any kind of legal bills. Do you see a pattern here?
A pattern in that they seem to be coming from only a very few sources, and that they have been determined frivolous. I mean, you know, we would get emails from people. I filed an ethics complaint against the governor today. Well, you know,
trying to get a story on about it.
It was just entirely too much, and most of them were you know, determined to be frivolous, and we kind of, you know, sort of, oh gee, deal with another one here. As far as a pattern, though, I don't think that anybody has seriously contended, other than Sarah Palin and her flacks, that there has been a, as she said, Democrats and the liberal establishment or something like that has been the ones who have been after, and people who want her job and potential envious contenders for the governor's office. Haven't seen anything that indicated that they were actually directed in any special way. I think that more interesting is that, you know, okay, so it cost the state $300,000. Two-thirds of that was from an ethics complaint that she filed herself, against herself, to get her name cleared on the Troopergate stuff. The you know, the other side of that is that it is ridiculous that she's personally got a $500,000 bill from her attorney, who has basically not given her any results at all that I have seen. I mean, you know, I'm not shadowing him or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, she's got a $500,000 legal bill, and that's personal. Is the way it's a, we, you know, she set up her own legal defense fund, even. to try to try to help meet that sort of stuff. So yeah, sure, she's got problems. I can appreciate that.
But it seems that I don't know. There's a right from the very moment that she was chosen by McCain, that people started taking sides. I mean, many people, it just seemed to like really bother them and get to them. Maybe they didn't even know why, but I mean, I remember there was the first reaction we were getting was how you know, it should have been Hillary. This is a mockery. Remember, we got that, but then it keeps morphing into other things, but it feels like the same anger of some kind, almost like a sort of a class thing, you know, and the complaints often, they have that kind of tone too, sort of the thing, well, only reason I'm complaining is because the governor should know better than to do something like wear a snowmobile jacket. You know what I mean? In a sense, you know, you would say, and some of the pundits are starting to reflect this too, they say, you know, there is a certain sense of decorum in public office that maybe hasn't always been there this time.
There is the lack of attention to the detail where somebody should have noticed those things. Like, for example, she did some interviews in Dillingham yesterday. It was pointed out in the reports from there, she was standing in front of a Peter Pan seafood sign. Well, you know, come on. Number one, is that an ethical complaint or not? I don't know, but somebody's going to make that complaint. I know. I can see it coming.
I can see it coming.
Yeah.
So I guess she does have a point in a sense that there's sort of this army of blogger hornets that really are upset.
Well, sure, there, but on both sides. You know, come on her side, too, the conservatives for Palin, which she says she doesn't control, and I believe it. And I think what we're seeing is how destructive bloggers and the anonymous garbage that ends up on the web, and everyone thinks they're a muckraking journalist, how that is driving public policy discussion in this country anymore. And look, aside from Palin quitting, there is a problem. We should be electing people based on policies, not their personalities, and not some personal vendetta of a blogger. But, you know, Governor, if that's too much hassle for you, then I guess quit. And someone with a thicker skin's got to take the job, because that is part of American politics currently, unfortunately.
I'll tell you this, and Dave, you can weigh in on this. I don't care how many ethics complaints are filed or anything. Number one, I don't see Sean Parnell getting a lawyer to deal with them, and I don't see him being bothered in the slightest by them.
I tend to agree with you completely. If any complaints were even be filed against Sean Parnell, it's not going to be the sort of thing that he's used to. That, I mean, he has served 8 years in the legislature. He knows what it's like to be criticized. He knows what it's like to have accusations made against him. And he came out clean. And there was never any reaction to it. I mean, he wouldn't call Dave Letterman.
Oh, that was evidently one of the really bothersome things. I mean, it's no secret that the governor lives on a BlackBerry, and she does tend to visit all these sites. The bloggers tell me that they see that she visited and see all these things in these Photoshop images and everything. You can understand that some of them might be a little aggravating to her. Well, we've got Dave Donaldson and Larry Pursley joining us, but let's start hearing from Alaskans here. First, let's go to Roger in Valdez. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Roger.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Earlier you mentioned Exxon partnering with TransCanada to study the pipeline corridor through Canada, opening up that corridor. And my prediction on that is that sometime in the future, the intention is to open up the corridor through Canada and have that in place, but I'd be very surprised if natural gas ever goes through that corridor. I think my prediction is that it's a setup, it's setting it up so that in the future when ANWR is opened, that there'll be a corridor in place for carrying oil through Canada.
Good point. Of course, Roger, that's the... strikes me as a little far-fetched, but still interesting. The engineering on a gas line, you know, of course, is very different from an oil line, the pressure and all that.
Yeah, that's. I think the number one is opening up that corridor through Canada, because originally the oil was not supposed to go from the North Slope to Valdez. The original plan was for the oil to go from the North Slope through Canada down to the lower 48, but that was overturned, and Valdez ended up getting the tankers and all that.
Yeah.
That's just my prediction for the future. So.
Right. And being located in Valdez, then, are you in the camp that says the governor sold out the All Alaska gas line idea?
Well, when she came up with that AGIA, she could have stipulated that that line should go to Valdez and then open it up to competitive bidding under the umbrella statement that it would have to go to Valdez. So in that sense, yeah, I believe she did sell out Valdez, the All Alaska route, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Let's try another one. Bob joins the program from Bethel. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you.
How are you, and what's your thought on the legacy of Sarah Palin?
Well, I just got some brief comments. I think Sarah, with her latest move here, quitting her job, just proved what an authentic Alaskan she is. It's a choice many of us have to make oftentimes. Do I go to work today, or do I go fishing? And she says, "The hell with it. Heck with it, excuse me. I'm going fishing. There'll be something when I come back."
The fish are in, yeah. It's a good point. The fish are there when they're there.
You know, and beyond that, as far as what she's done for the state, well, she's provided entertainment for the state and the nation and a good portion of the world in her brief tenure. So we can all thank her for that. That's really about all I have.
All right. Thank you. thank you, Bob. Zip back to you, Larry Pursley, and this notion that it is true, whatever the speculation of our caller from Valdez about the destination of crude oil, it is true, is it not, that some of the route of the pipeline, the rights and so forth, still need to be ironed out?
Well, there's a lot to be ironed out on this. There's certainly the right-of-way all the way into Alberta, where you could connect with the existing pipeline network that serves the lower 48. There's financing for the construction, financing to guarantee the shipping contracts. You're not going to build this line unless someone signs a binding contract to use it for the next 20 years, long enough to cover the mortgage on it. There's a lot to be worked out. It's iffy, 50-50 at best. We won't know for a couple years if this latest effort is going to succeed. Come on, we've been waiting for a gas line in Alaska for 40 years. This is nothing new.
And so the legacy, really, if this one flops, it'll be very similar to the Murkowski legacy in this regard.
Sure.
Gave it a try, and the public said, no, we're not doing this. This is a giveaway, and it was over with.
Sure, and Knowles gave it a try also. Other governors have tried very hard through the years. The obstacles to building an Alaska North Slope natural gas pipeline are immense. And if we're ever able to pull it off, every governor who's ever worked on it since 1969, you know, will claim a role in the victory.
Actually, you could even go back to Bill Egan.
You could.
Yeah, I remember Egan and Hammond originally standing up in 83, I think, or 82
right.
Even.
Right. If the gas line succeeds, there will be a lot of people claiming fatherhood and motherhood of the gas line. We'll have to give paternity tests.
Luckily, we have fiscal DNA now.
Right.
Let's go to Shelley. Joins the program from Dalton. Hello, Shelley. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to your comment about, or sort of question comment about why people responded so vehemently, I guess, and angry when Sarah Palin was nominated for vice president. And I think it was because we were coming to an end of 8 years of a president. It would put her very close to the presidency. And we were just coming to the end of 8 years of a presidency that has really brought this country down almost to its knees, and that we were really, really frightened that such an erratic person could potentially be in the White House. And that was the reason. It wasn't personal. It wasn't because she's a woman. It wasn't because of this and that. It was just she's not equipped. And I think that this totally irrational, erratic action will prove that. And I mean, if Alaskans went to, or anybody goes and reads a transcript of her speech, it's just absolutely astounding that someone with that low of an intellect would be considered for such a high job.
Shelley, I want to thank you for finding down your comments so that they're very, very clear, and I think you've definitely made your point.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Run, Sarah, run. No, not away, but for president in 2012 to ensure an Obama victory. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think, if we start in with the slogans and so forth, I'm afraid we're going to go down a rabbit trail because there are so many of them out there.
Is it open season on rabbits anyhow?
Thank you so much. No, it's the wolves. It's open season on Larry.
Okay, I get confused.
From Pamela, Governor Palin started off with good stated intentions of being accessible to rural Alaska, such as through the email, the governor link, and a rural subcabinet, but the intentions were never fulfilled. Emails went unanswered. The subcabinet later became a person who quit. Public involvement collapsed midway through the inaugural balls when rural AGEA meetings were set up at the last minute and on Palm Sunday, a guarantee nobody would show up, not even the new governor. For over 15 years, the warnings on environmental changes, energy needs, and massive social changes in the unorganized borough, which do affect Anchorage Wasilla, have not been dealt with, making it harder and harder for a new governor to deal with them. We need a knowledgeable community involvement process at the governor's level so the state doesn't keep getting blindsided. I hope the attitude of who needs an educated public service leaves with this resignation. Well, you can get your hopes up, I guess. But we'll just have to see who the candidate field is. Do you think, Dave, is there any indication from Sean Parnell that he might try to reach out to the Bush?
He has his background is Anchorage. He recognizes Anchorage. He knows Anchorage. But he's also a very practical politician, and I think that anybody who's going to run for higher office, and he will, has to recognize the importance of the Bush. I mean, you know, he lost a run for U.S. Congress basically because he did not have any Bush support. And, you know, Don Young was saying, I'm going to get those votes. And sure enough, when the, you know, however long it took him, he lost. And I think he has to recognize that. And I think his political team, whoever they are, we'll have to recognize that, and he's got to do it while he is governor. He's been given a great opportunity now to fix some of the things that he had been doing wrong. So I think that's all a part of it.
Yeah, but in a sense, there's a lot of lame duckism there, wouldn't you think?
For the next year and a half, there will be some, because he's not going to make any big changes. He's not going to try to just all of a sudden. Number one, he doesn't want to wrench the government back into another direction of any sort. He agrees with Palin,
yeah,
on a lot of her policies, but I think that doesn't mean you can't do a little bit of fine tuning. And I think that he recognizes that those things have to be done. And he's very cautious, but he's also very aware of what's going on out there.
Well,
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see who the think tank is around him. And this is something that they aren't very well known right now. As a matter of fact, I only know of a couple of people that are advising him, and I don't know if exactly what they are telling him about. I do know that there are a few people that he's worked with over the years for a long period of time. But I think that's the sort of thing that once we see where that develops and then the priorities that he comes up with, that'll be an interesting angle.
Before we go to the break, our guests are Dave Donaldson of APRN and Larry Pursley, a former aide in the Washington, D.C. office for Governor Palin, now a legislative aide to Mike Hawker. And we'll get back to our guests and to your calls shortly. I'll close this first half of the show with this question to ponder from the Internet. Do listeners believe that Democrats need only promise to not practice nepotism, avoid prison, not be hypocrites, nor go missing, or quit to prevail in the future? Pithy. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank, Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And by
the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Oregon has set a deadline for filing claims for anyone who suffered injury by sexual, mental, or physical abuse or misconduct by a Jesuit priest or others claiming the Society of Jesus, Oregon Providence, has some responsibility. The deadline is November 30th, 2009. Proof of claim forms are available online or by calling 1-888-909-0100. This message is sponsored by the Society of Jesus, Oregon Providence.
It's Talk of Alaska, and we'd really like to get your comments. 1-800-478-8255. Callers have been doing a really great job of boiling it down. 1-800-478-TALK. If calling from Anchorage, a local, call at 550-8422. Email talk@aprn.org, and they've been coming in at a pretty good rate. Dave Donaldson, I believe you and I were both here when this Palin wave struck. And would you not agree that essentially what we saw at that moment was similar to the strategy that our was somewhat facetiously probably sent to us by email there, which was, it was, the platform was, I'm not Frank Murkowski.
That was a big part of it. It really was a very big part of it. And sure enough, she sold it better. I mean, you remember, one of the turning points in the public perception of Sarah Palin was to see her opponents arguing among each other. And you'd see John Binkley, for example, at a televised debate, you'd see John Binkley and Frank Murkowski going at it one after the other and just really starting to call each other, almost to the point of calling each other names. And Sarah Palin very calmly in the corner saying, the voters deserve something better than this. And, man, that put the whole thing real succinctly, and it really did set the tone for her campaign from that point on. And not only I'm not Frank Murkowski, I'm not anybody else. And that got a lot of votes.
Larry Pursley?
And I'd add, she's still campaigning against Frank Murkowski. You saw that last Friday when she gave her resignation speech or essay on at her home in Wasilla, when she made the comment about, well, I'm not going to be a lame duck and travel around and waste money. That was a dig at Frank Murkowski, who in his last year in office did travel a fair amount, maybe too much of a fair amount, and went on an overseas trade mission. You know, she just could never get out of the campaign mode. There had to be something more to being governor than campaigning against Frank Murkowski. He's gone. He wasn't a good governor. Get over it and give us something new. But even on the way out, it's like kick Frank again because it makes her look better.
But, you know, in a sense, we've got a maverick on our hands, Larry. I mean, we have somebody that just breaks the mold. It's a different mold, and she knows it, and she does it without hesitation.
She's generally good at it.
Yeah,
you know, she is. She's the public. There's a large segment of the public that likes it. They like the personality. They like, you know, the maverick's overused, and I think McCain actually trademarked it last week. But sure, it's played well. But, you know, I would argue to be a good leader, governor, lieutenant governor, president, has got to be, or to me personally, I'd want to see more policy and a little less of the maverick, whether it's her, McCain, or some of the Democrats who would love to be mavericks.
Well, I kind of thought that there would be maybe a populist at the head, you know, that we'd have a sort of anti-elite sort of administration, but that there would be a brain trust or a think tank or something like that. And it didn't seem to me that that sort of team was ever assembled. Dave Donaldson, you watched it to be assembled, and it just seemed like this cabinet was never really a cabinet in the sense that the other governors would have cabinets that were sort of a brain trust.
Well, yeah, and you're talking two different things. The cabinet is the administrators. That's the bureaucrats. Those are the guys that will follow the orders, and they will, you know, bring things to the governor and to the brain trust. The brain trust are the ones who are in the background, who are actually thinking, advising, looking at the repercussions of something. And that never existed.
Well, we did. I mean,
fact, when the governor finally, you know, we would recognize, okay, these people, this person is influential. This person does have access to the governor. They talk about it. She fired him. I mean, come on. For a while, Larry Pursley was a part of that, and I have great respect. But you know, he's not there anymore, and people either quit or were fired. For various different reasons.
So that did not gel up, and that may be, you know, if she does aspire to higher office, that might be a good counsel to her. That's something she needs to do. There's no end of people. I mean, we're looking at a Pew rating here, gentlemen, of 73% approval among Republicans, 80% approval among conservative Republicans, and 84% among white evangelical Republicans. I mean, is it any wonder? I mean, talk about base. Is it any wonder that people like David Brooks and Cal Thomas and so forth are trying to put her through charm school?
Yeah, but look at 2 years ago, she had an 84% approval rating from all Alaskans, all elements of Alaskans, not breaking it down from this particular element, this particular demographic. The fact is that it was 100% of the public, 82% of them supported her. And that's what's the sort of thing is that that's the comparison you need to be taking.
Mm.
But then it's a matter of, do you want to win higher office? If she wants to be president, I think she's got to get 51% of the vote, which means appeal to the middle. But it may just be that Sarah Palin's future is energizing that evangelical white Christian base and getting them out there to vote for candidates, getting them to influence elections. It never results in another election victory for her because she can't get the middle, but she can be with the people she loves, the people who adore her, the people who agree with her, and mobilize them so she can be a leader of that wing.
And, you know, Ralph Nader used to welcome that type of role. Ross Perot.
Yeah, the productive member of society the last few years, Ralph Nader, gave us George Bush, if I remember,
three elections ago. I think we all remember that one, all right. Well, here's one from Drew. I'm a left-leaning person, and I did not vote for Palin. I started to appreciate her accomplishments. And while she was doing good things for the people of Alaska, I started to approve of her job performance. During the VP run, I really started paying attention to her, and I was totally disappointed. I'm part of the 30% of Alaskans who approved of her job performance prior to the VP run and no longer do. Unfortunately, her ego and ambition are greater than her experience, knowledge, and toughness. It may not be her fault that McCain picked her, but it is her fault for not realizing her own limitations. Her leaving the job now seals the deal for me that she's not cut out for public service at the national or state level. She's probably better suited for the celebrity circuit where she can feed her ego some more. It says a lot about our society that she's been fooled into thinking, because people like her and will vote for her, that she is actually capable of doing her job. That from Drew in Anchorage. And I think, we really do have a situation here where I'm not sure that accusation of ego, I may be a very small minority here, but I kind of buy this business of service to a higher cause and all that. I kind of take her seriously when she speaks of her religious convictions.
And that's because you work for public radio, and that's definitely a higher cause when we get Pledge Week out there twice a year.
It's a bizarre cult, as far as I can tell.
Yes, it's a cult.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
The question is, is it a cult that you have created, or is it a higher cause is something that you created yourself? Sarah Palin got a lot done the first 2 years. The way she got it done, however, was in the legislature, and because of policy changes that needed legislative involvement, she worked with Democrats. I mean, if you're looking for her, you'd more likely find her down on the fourth floor in Beth Kurtula's office, and with other Democrats, and they were very friendly with her, and they did support an awful lot. I mean, AGEA would never have been passed if the Democrats had not gone along with it. Same thing goes with the tax changes that she wanted. The hardcore Republicans didn't like it. when she ran for vice president, all of a sudden, Democrats were evil. And not evil, but they were definitely
She pretty much said they were evil. That they palled around with terrorists.
Yeah, actually.
America as we knew it.
Okay, well, that's...
Back. She got partisan and nasty and on the vice presidential campaign, and that's what lost her a lot of support up here.
Yeah, and it transferred back this last year. She would not appoint Beth Krutula because Beth questioned to the state Senate because Beth questioned her ability and her background and her qualifications for office.
Okay, so in a sense, it is ego, the way you see it.
I don't know if it's ego as much as forgetting the past part of things, forgetting where support came from.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm thinking of that old blues song, "My Girlfriend Done Throwed Me Down."
I think it's not just ego, it's really terrible judgment and believing that you're right and everyone else is wrong, that it's okay to shred Democrats during the presidential campaign and basically yell fire in a crowded theater, that's okay, but then if they do it, oh my God, they're attacking me. It's, come on, everyone threw hand grenades during the campaign, get over it.
Let's go to Marianne, joins the program from Eagle River. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Marianne.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to state that the heck with the Democrats, how about the constituents? When I walked into that voting booth, Sean Parnell's name was not under governor. If you put somebody in office, you expect them to at least finish the term. I'm feeling like all of a sudden her constituents weren't that important. She gave it up as easily as she had a taste of success with vice presidency. I'm just really disappointed.
And you don't buy it's about country?
I bought 2 days before she was named vice president that she was really in office to serve those people of Alaska.
Hmm.
And then she gave it up pretty freely.
It seemed like great.
I feel that she's worked hard for us since then.
I see. Marianne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for keeping it boiled down. We'll go to David, joins the program from Anchorage. David, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I think she's going to laugh all the way to the bank.
Aha. Well, who's it going to be? Is it Rupert Murdoch? Is it Fred Malik? Is it, who is it, Franklin Graham?
She'll be able to pay off those attorney bills within a week and
It's just speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Gate fees.
Yep.
Book signings. Talk show appearances.
Yeah.
But they don't pay, do they? They talk shows.
With the comments that she made about lame duck, if she gets in as president, she would have to quit because she's already said what her opinion is of people that aren't going to go to second or can't get into a third term. So.
All right, David. Thank you for your comment from Anchorage. 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. Local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And over the email, let's go to this one here. Sarah Palin quit for no good reason. And then they deconstruct it. The reasons were she doesn't want to be a lame duck. Not believable. You're only a lame duck if you make yourself one. Two, the state spent millions fighting the ethics complaints. Simply not true. Three, no one made fun of Trigg. Someone used a photo of Palin holding him to Photoshop another face on the baby in order to make fun of Palin and Eddie Burke, not to make fun of a Down syndrome baby. I don't know if it was my kid, if I'd feel that way. That's a hard one for me, I think. The pressure of the bloggers was too much for her. Give me a break. Fox News skewers the president on a nightly basis. It would be unimaginable for him to quit because of it. I think she loves drama and whatever isn't in news. She pulls a stunt like this. Think whenever she isn't in the news, she pulls a stunt like this. Think about her pregnancy. She kept it secret until the 7th month. Weird. Then she went into labor while out of state and acted bizarrely. And it's also of note that the countdown clock in the governor's office has disappeared. She installed it to emphasize that her time in office, all 4 years, was important. She had a big job to do. It was obviously an attention-getting stunt because she worked part-time from home and then quit when she got bored. And that coming to us as an email comment. It is talk@aprn.org. Starting to be a little bit of a tide here. 1-800-478-8255. 1-800-478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422, talk at APRN.org. Fresh Air today, guess what the subject's going to be with Michael Carey. Those stations out there that carry National Public Radio's Fresh Air, there will be yet more. But they don't take phone calls. We do. So this one, all I can say is thank goodness Sarah is an overrated beauty queen, has been, who has shown herself to be poorly informed and continually behaves quite poorly. She has demonstrated very obviously her contempt for the people of Alaska. I say good riddance, though her possible run at national level causes me incredible consternation and dismay. Hey, I can see resignation from my house, says Valerie, and that's from all the way over in Ketchikan. It's Talk of Alaska. Our guests are Larry Pursley and Dave Donaldson. And, you know, I'm trying to look back at this legacy, and my feelings are mixed. I see this as there are an awful lot of positives in this during the time of this administration, it would appear to me.
There are positives, Steve, but they came in the first year or two. Since the vice presidential run, there has been basically nothing to brag about. It was noticeable during, and I think Larry probably noticed it as also, during the legislative session, you'd have a committee meeting of a bill that was of, very much importance to the administration. And the legislators kind of got into a habit of asking the division director or the public information or the governmental affairs officer or somebody within the division, does the governor support this bill? And every single time, I mean, you would have like, several times a day those questions were asked, and the answer was always, I don't know if the governor likes it or not, if the governor supports it, if she will even sign it. I can't speak for the governor. We think it's a good idea, the department does. That's the legacy there of being so totally out of touch with things that you don't tell them we support this, we like it, or we don't like it.
And not just that, it was inconsistent. There was a bill for electronic medical records setting up an information exchange as the nation and as Alaska converts to electronic medical records. A hearing on the bill in the Senate committee, the administration official testified, we support the bill. Same bill comes to the House committee. They say, we have no position on the bill. Come on. The Governor Palin this year introduced half as many bills as she did her first year, a quarter as many bills as Frank Murkowski did, and of the 12 bills she put in, not counting appropriation bills, but the 12 issues she tried to get through, she got one through.
Okay, so
12, not because they hated her, because the administration just didn't work at it.
So basically you would say that the administration is bogging down.
I think the administration lacked strong leadership in the governor's office this year, would be a better way to put it.
Uh-huh. So the people running the departments are trying to keep their departments running, but they're not getting enough leadership. So in a sense,
it's similar
to what Dave said. You're just kind of augmenting it, that Dave said, well, all the progress really was in the first year, and now it slowed down, and really it's maybe better that it's being handed off.
Right, the governor picked off the easy issues at the beginning of the term, and then after that, there was nothing left on the list to do, no engagement, not that much interest in running government, and then the criticism started mounting, so she's decided to go do something else.
Let's go to Joanne, joins the program from Unalakleet. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Joanne.
Yeah, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a real interesting talk show. I live in Bush, Alaska, and I really admire Sarah Palin, and I think there's a lot of people out there in Bush, Alaska, and in rural America who admire her.
I'm sure of it.
And I don't think she's done. I think she has a power that's going to reemerge at some point in the future. And I also think that that there was a lot of media bashing in the beginning of her administration, and that weakened her. But I'm sure that she made the correct decision to resign, and I'm glad she did. And I think that, in a way, I think that she may have been scapegoated because of what was happening in the rest of the nation when Obama became president. And we all know that Obama is a black person. Those are just the comments I'd like to make.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Joanna. I really appreciate you getting it down to a good bite-sized portion so that we can tell just what you're talking about. So you back her. In other words, you feel that she's doing the right thing. There have to be good reasons. Oh, I think we lost her. Did we lose her? All right, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. Guess who teens say is their most important influence when it comes to sex? Their parents. Listen up. Teens want to know what you think, even if they don't act like it. Talk with your teens about sex, love, and values. Nationwide, one out of every three girls gets pregnant at least once by age 20. Make sure your daughter isn't one of them. Visit stayteen.org for special parent tips and more information on how you can prevent teen pregnancy. This message is sponsored by the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
It's Talk of Alaska, and we are trying to take the pulse of Alaskans and how they feel about Governor Sarah Palin deciding to leave before the end of her term and turn over state government to Sean Parnell. A majority of the callers so far are saying, they were not real happy with the governor and feel that she's a quitter now. There was our last caller who said, I think she knows her own reasons and I back her. And I'm sure there are many others, particularly rural Americans, who feel the same way. That's what our last caller had to say. With us by telephone is Dave Donaldson of APRN's Juneau Bureau and Larry Pursley, a former Palin aide. And they can look at this from the government perspective, but the politics and the people perspective and the cultural perspective, I don't think any of us are really experts on. And there are cultural issues here. We're dealing with a person that normally would probably not get elected to public office, or if they did, probably not to the high position of governor. Sarah Palin was a mayor, never was seasoned in the legislature. I can picture her, getting on the school board, and maybe even in the legislature. But she didn't have to have those tests. She got it all in OJT. And this is interesting. This is not the kind of person we usually have as a governor. But then again, having said all that, this is Alaska. And unusual things happen here all the time. They always have. We have this young constitution. We are a young state. We have large forces which are mostly out of our control that we often just sort of try and tell ourselves that we have any control over. And that's just simply the place that we live. Nature itself is vastly more overwhelming here than it is in the rest of the country, except maybe Hawaii. Let's go to Frank, joins the program from Petersburg. So glad to hear more from Southeast, Frank. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Yeah. It's good to hear you guys on the air again. Anyway, I didn't vote for Sarah, but, I just been sitting here thinking about all the people that supported her throughout the campaign and voted for her, and both on the state and national level. And then she turns right around, and I think she just slapped every one of them in the face by walking off the job. And, a lot of people would walk off a job, and that's a black mark on their resume. But I just feel that she slapped everybody in the face. And does she honestly feel that she can have their support and anything else political? I mean, if I was them, I wouldn't waste my vote on her. I mean, she doesn't have a good track record, as far as I'm concerned, of staying on the job.
All right, Frank.
Basically, that's my comment.
All right, thank you. This one from Svaya in Anchorage. I'm listening to you guys bash Sarah Palin and thinking how out of touch with real people you are. She's been maligned and abominably treated by the likes of you and the liberal Anchorage Daily News. We've never seen anything like it in the almost 35 years we've lived here, not even with the hated Governor Murkowski. As the saying goes, the prophet is inappreciated in his, her own country. I say bravo, Sarah. We are with you. That from email by email from Anchorage. This one from Randy. I've listened for 50 minutes, and all but one of your callers are anti-Sarah. Hopefully, public radio listeners represent a cross-section of Alaska, liberal, conservative, and middle. Can your guests comment as to whether the conservatives are disappointed as well? In the legislature, a bunch of them are.
Yeah. I don't know about the legislature. I have not talked to legislators. But it was amazing to watch the announcement taking place. And, of course, there was no live film or no live video coming across as she was making the announcement from Wasilla last week. But you had the Fox News commentators quickly getting on saying, this is a mistake, this is terrible, this is, in really negative terms about her. Greta Van, whatever her name is,
Greta Van Susteren or something.
Yeah. And she was, she had been on vacation that day, but she came back on with a telephone call into her own program. Somebody else was taking charge of for the day and was quite critical of Sarah Palin. I mean, this is not a Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative issue. This is an issue of people who were upset from what she has done, whether they will miss her and the positive things that she could have done as governor, or for those who were just using that and saying, it's negative. The complaints are not coming from any segment.
All right, we got
to it was noticeable on the television coverage of it.
Just about a minute left. We got this one from Heather, who said, I've known Sean Parnell since he was a teen, and I look forward to him assuming the governor's office with dignity, intelligence, and thoughtful consideration of the myriad issues facing Alaska. I travel a lot, and increasingly, Sarah Palin is a bit of an embarrassment. Let's go to Donna, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Donna.
Hi, Steve. It's a great program this morning, and I'm just going to put my 2 cents worth of speculation in that perhaps Sarah Palin decided when she gets a big commission for her book deal that she will not want to disclose the actual amount she receives by having to make her income tax public record as she would as the governor. So maybe she's just decided to retain her privacy on that issue.
Well, that's certainly one of the theories, along with the presidential run, I would say. Donna, thank you very much for your call. Just a few closing comments here. Larry Pursley, is it positive or a negative legacy when all is said and done?
Unknown. I think just like the gas line, we don't know. I think probably right now it sort of tends toward the negative. It's going to hurt her more than it will help. But Palin is very resilient, has a strong personality, and I agree with callers. There will be a role for Palin in the future. We're just not sure what it is yet.
Dave Donaldson, she is a great improviser, isn't she?
Yes, she is. And I think that legacy is going to be positive when people look back at what she did do in the first 2 years. It has been really a new kind of a government that I think the public really liked. It's unfortunate that the national stuff came up and distracted her from it.
All right. Thanks to Gooseberry Peter, Len Anderson, and Pat Yak. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by Alaska Communication Systems, converging voice, video, internet, and data applications for business. ACS connects companies from the North Slope to Ketchikan to each other and the rest of the world. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.